Blog Talk Radio.
Morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher and I'm your host today. And glad to be here. Glad to be here. An opportunity to say hello and talk to mothers and daughters around the world. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to reach out to mothers and daughters, to open up a discussion, a dialogue, so that we can maybe touch a thought and change the thinking, and hopefully to change it in a way that it will be according to your word. And that is our aim, is to get people to get closer to the way Jesus did things, so that we can be on one accord. I thank you. In the name of Jesus, as we pray, amen. Wow, thank you, mothers and daughters, for joining me this morning and all of our listening guests, because we are growing, and as we grow, we have a mixed audience. It's so amazing to me. I have men that, you know, often ask me the question, what do you do when you have a house full of women, and they are all coming at you, you know. You got a house full of women that want you to do whatever they want you to do. And I know when I was living with my mother and my sisters, you know, I had to go through certain things, you know. And so when we're talking about mother and daughter issues, I realize that they are listening because they want to know, you know, because I have a lot of young men, like a young man I was speaking to this past week. I would say he's probably 38 and very attractive, maybe about 6'3", 6'4", was at a meeting. And he said, you know, he said, I really want to get married. He's a chef, and judging according to his website and things that I've seen, very good chef. As far as he deals with diabetic cooking and healthy eating. And so when I'm looking, and there's two young ladies sitting at the table next to us, and he says, yes, he says, I really, really want to get married. You know, I would love to find a wife. And those two young ladies turned around immediately, and of course they were different nationalities, but they turned around, and it was looking like, and the young lady said, well, here's somebody here. But the interesting thing is that, you know, he would listen to mother and daughter roundtable so that he can learn more and more about women and about how mothers and daughters interact, because it's very important that you understand the relationship between your wife and your mother, your wife and your daughter, because then you know how to interact with them. You need to know that they like each other. You need to know that they're having difficulties in certain areas. And a wise thing is that once you understand the situation or the relationship, you know, sometimes it's to just, as a man, move out of the way and let them work it out, because it's just a thing that between mothers and daughters that someone else cannot fix that's not another woman. So anyway, it's interesting, mother and daughter dialogue, mother and daughter conversations, and that's one of the things that we do here at the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable on Blog Talk Radio. And for the opportunity, I say thank you, thank you, thank you. I love it when I come on Saturday morning and the switchboard is completely full or it's nearing full, and I know that people are here listening because they obviously are getting something, and I always, always ask for wisdom and guidance before any show. I just don't take it off with something that comes to me and I decide that this is what I'm going to say or do, because I don't have that much going on within me as Bessie the person. But as a child of God and asking for wisdom, I'm being led to the topics. And each Saturday morning, I'm just amazed at how information will just pop in and say, this is what you're talking about today. This is them. And so God knows the hearts of each and every one of us, and he knows who's going to be online, and he knows who's listening, and the information is geared so that it will touch the heart and soul of the listeners. Okay? Again, I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm your host, And I want to thank each of you for tuning in today and listening. You're joining us on blogtalkradio.com, or you are calling in on 347-539-5078, and you click 1 to join in on the conversation. Our topic today is the topic of discussion and a topic at heart. It's mothers and daughters giving from within the gift of life. The topic is mothers and daughters giving from within the gift of life. Interesting topic, and I think you're going to love the way that the message is going to come across to you today. Basically, you know, you're talking about everything that is good comes from within. You know, this everything that you have that's good about you is inside of you, and it is from the within outward that you give the gift of life. We're not talking about birth today in that aspect. We're just talking about giving, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go along. Still need to announce that we're doing the cruise June. I think it's the 17th, June 17th, we're leaving, 2011, going to Jamaica. Now, the only clinch to this right now, I'm negotiating with prices because, you know, a certain time of the month and certain time of the year, and just like with the airlines, you may book a cruise today and the prices change tomorrow. But also, it depends upon the time of year, especially when you're leaving out of a certain port. And Miami is one of those ports that we like to leave out of. And if you're leaving out of Miami, you know, it depends upon the seasoning for that particular area. And our seasons are different from seasons in other parts of the state. Because, you know, of course, now this is our high season because it's warm here and cold everywhere else. And so certain times of year, and even in the summer, it depends upon when school is out and that type of thing and when they peak up and peak down. So we're looking at June, and I just don't want you to we're looking at Jamaica, but Jamaica in June is a little high, and I'm trying to make sure we can negotiate it down to keep it so a mother and a daughter can come. I'm trying to keep it so it won't be too high, and right now I'm negotiating with that. But just keep it in mind that we are going on the cruise in June, and the destination hopefully will be Jamaica. That's what we're hoping on. But we have a committee, and I'm going to try to get with them this week and discuss prices. And you ladies out there, you know who you are. That's a part of the committee, part of the group that went on the cruise, Mother and Daughter Cruise in November. Let's get together this week and have a conversation. I had one member only that called and told me that she did some research on one of the cruise ships. So we need to get together and finalize it so next week we can actually make an announcement of a final price and get it going so people can start paying now and not wait till the last minute. All right, the National Association. We want to thank the Mother and Daughter Ambassador Group who's working very hard and has put together a manual for the mother of the ambassador and their work for next year. The calendar is done. It is being placed. Hoping Angela can help me today and we can place that calendar on the website. I've had a little difficulty, and I promise you it would have been on there this past week, but I'm not a website person. So, you know, bear with me. Hopefully she'll be able to help me get that done. And you can see what we're doing all of next year. And if it's something that you want us to do with you at your program, if you want me to come out and speak or in any way do a conference, then let me know so we can plug it in. All right? Now, for the people that just came on, of course, I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm your host on Blog Talk Radio, the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable, where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. And our exciting topic today is mothers and daughters giving from within the gift of life. Now, when we're talking about mothers and daughters giving from within the gift of life, you know, I want you to think about that. The gift of life. You know, most people say the gift of life. Well, we're talking about having a baby. No. We are talking about giving, giving love, and giving forgiveness. And as I was going through and saying, well, Lord, what are we talking about? And Lord keeps saying, you know, this is the season. This is the season for giving. And people sometimes get it confused. And what is a gift to give this holiday season that you can give that will change your life and change the life of the person that you're giving it to? You know, we come up with strategies for New Year resolutions, and it's always about, I'm going to lose 50 pounds, or I'm going to stop doing so and so and so. And the intentions are good. They're very good. But somewhere along the line, we tend to get so busy that we forget. And we'll go a few weeks or months and say, you know, yeah, well, next year. And it's a repeated thing. And it's becoming really famous now because it's just an act of being cute or an act of being inclusive in some type of program that is a mental jogging to be a part of something to say that I'm, you know, I just want you to know I'm trying to do this. But, you know, you're really not because we don't complete it. And I say we because, you know, I'm included. So when we're talking about giving a gift, I just, you know, want to share with you what came upon my heart and my spirit. What is the gift for the holiday season and starting the rest of your life off with peace? The thing that can start you off with peace is to give love and to give forgiveness. Now, when there's love, there's peace. And when I'm speaking of love, I'm speaking of godly love. I'm not talking about your interpretation of love. I'm talking about when you look at love, love is unconditional. If you have a condition, it's not love. And I'm going to say that again. If you have a condition, it's not love. I love them, but. I love them if. You cannot have a conjunction to that because it takes it out of godly love and it takes it into your interpretation of love. So how do you know if it's godly love? You know it's godly love if you feel within your spirit a sense of peace. But when you say you love and say that you've forgiven, but then when you see the person or think of the person, you're disturbed in your spirit or your thoughts, then you ask yourself, is that love? Because love and peace comes together. Love and disturbance can't fit in the same place. So now you think about it. You ask yourself, just think of that one person or that one thing that you're saying, I really forgive that person and I love that person. Just say that to yourself and see what feelings that come up. And if you have that in your stomach or in your thoughts, then I'll say, now you know. So it is the time of year that most people will give a gift to you, even if they don't like you. And I say that to say this. You know, like people on your job. People on your job, you know, they're pulling names, and they are participating in a team effort, but they actually pull your name and they don't like you, but they they feel I have to give them a gift because I pulled their name. So people give gifts for a lot of different reasons. And not only on the job, we do that in the family. We do that with our friends. We do it because we know that someone is watching us, and so I have to give them a gift. But you really don't have to give them a gift. So when they decide, you know, like example on the job, the person just go out and say, you know what, they say, what, $10? and they look around, oh, this is $9.95, good. Don't even think about it. They're not giving love with it because they know I just got to give them a gift. And as long as I give them a gift, I have participated in what I want, whether I like them or not. So when we're talking about love, I'm not talking about a gift. I'm not talking about something that you can buy. I'm talking about something that you give from within, something that you have within your spirit. You know, the kind of gift that money can't buy. You know, I've seen mothers and daughters, you know, give gifts because of pressure. You know, if you can't even afford it, you go out and you give because of pressure. And I'm telling you what I know, and through counseling, I've had to talk to people about that. But I'm her mother. And Christmas come, a Mother's Day come, and she doesn't give me a gift. No, she owed me. And I'm trying to get them to understand that is not true. Nobody owes you anything. They give you because they love you. They give you because they want to, just to say, I appreciate you. Because that mother has done what? Plant seeds for the harvest. And so you can't demand that someone give. They give because they love. They give because they care and because what you have planted in them. So when you go around and you demand, and even a mother, you know, with all the loving, you know, mothers usually say, oh, baby, I have so many things. I don't need a thing. And you're still trying to figure out what to give. I'm not telling you not to buy gifts for Christmas. That is not the reason for this. That is not my motive. My motive is to tell you that I want you to focus on or to share with you, not tell you, to share with you an idea. To focus back when this whole gift giving around this time of year began. It began when Jesus was a baby. And the wise men came and they gave gifts. They gave gold. They gave presents to him. But the main thing was that was a part of that, they gave praise and worship for the Savior. Now, somehow or another, this thing has got it twisted around, and I'm not anti-Christmas. Don't get it wrong. Don't even go there. But I do believe that we have to stay focused on the reason, and we have to figure out, are we helping someone? Are we doing something? Are we giving a gift back to the reason for the season? Are we giving something to God? And I'm not talking about going to church and putting money in there, that's your tithe. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, are we looking at a child that doesn't have shoes, doesn't have a coat to wear, you know, walking around needy, a mother that you know that is having a problem feeding their children? You know, can we just look at it and say, okay, I'm going to give, and God says, if you take care of the children, then you take care of me. And we can look at, what way can we give to God through his children? Because what makes him happy is that when you help his people, things doesn't excite God. You know, what excites him is that you are giving to help. And he said, whenever you help the children, now you're really touching his heart. So I know there are people out there that we can, because most of us are so comfortable. We live in a nice home. We drive nice cars. And, you know, we really don't really need anything. And as I was talking to my daughter, and I said, you know, we've done this for years. And she says, well, Mama, what you want for Christmas? You know, it's sad when you got to ask somebody what they want for Christmas, because, you know, they really don't need anything. And I'll tell them nothing. Oh, no, you got to have something. No, I don't want anything. I don't need anything. Because it just got to the point it was just repetitious, just buying something to buy something. No, I don't need anything. And if I really, really needed something, I said, well, you know, you could get me this. And it would be something that most people don't buy. You know, they want to get some, because I'm there. It just doesn't matter. I don't need to just keep getting gifts just because it's Christmas. Just let's don't do it. And sometimes we just don't buy each other anything. We just buy for the children. My thing is they're children, so, you know, I'm going to give to the children. And sometimes we just say, you know, we're not even going to, because you just love each other. Let's just have a good time, sit down, eat, love, play games, because you just run out of things to buy. Just can't think of a thing. Anytime you got to go days and days and days trying to think of what to buy someone, you need to ask yourself, do they really need something? Or can I go and take them out to dinner? Or can I just go and spend some time with them and just hold their hands and just read to them? Can I just take my mother out and just sit and just rub her hair and just say, you know, Mama, I just love you. I really appreciate you. And just dote on them and just let them know that means more than anything that you can do to me. That's just my opinion now. If this doesn't work for you, then it's okay. Because even with my grandchildren, I will tell them, you know, children tend to say, well, you know, I don't have any money. So, well, they don't have any money. They can't buy you a gift. No, they don't have to buy you a gift. But I tell them they can take a piece of paper and they can fold it in half and they can sit there and say, to Nana, I love you. Happy birthday. Because you got to teach them how to give from what they have. And what they have is love. And if you got love for a person, just put it on paper. A person that writes poetry, put it on paper. Words are powerful. Words give power. Words give love. So if you can't give anything else, don't buy a card. Say it from within because it's more powerful. It comes from you, and believe it or not, you're transferring your spirit into the spirit of the person with whom you're giving it. So, with all of that being said today, the Lord just placed on my heart that we need to look at how do we wrap love and how do we wrap forgiveness. Because if you really wanted to give the gift of life to your mother or daughter, if you have anything, any art, anything with anybody, and you say this is the time, the season to give, and it's all about giving love, giving because we are in remembrance of Christ. The whole reason is because Christ was born and we're supposed to be celebrating the birth. Then would he want you to give a gift to someone out of anything other than love? You'd ask yourself, well, if I'm giving this and I really don't like the person, because you know if you like the person deep down inside or not, they may not know. But you know. And God knows. So you say, you're not getting any credit for it. So why do it? You're not putting up anything. You're not getting any points with God that's going to get you into heaven by giving something to someone, and you know within your heart you don't even like them. Mother-in-law giving their daughter-in-law a present just because she, you know, she's married to my son, but yet I give my son a better present. Or I give my son and I don't give my daughter-in-law. Or I give my daughter and don't give my son-in-law. Or I give one grandchild and don't give the other. Or I buy one a better gift and nobody other. It's not out of love. Whatever you do, if you give it out of love, it's going to be peace and it's going to be given in a way that it's going to be equally spread. Because God doesn't love one person more than he loves the other. And if we are loving one person more than we love the other, then we're outside of love. We have to ask ourselves, why do we like this one better than we like this one? There's something there to be forgiven about. You've got to go back in and look in your heart and go within your soul and say, what is it about this person that I could give this person something nice, and this person is attached to this person, and I'm giving them something less? What is it that I need to forgive to bring that love to a balance? And I've even had clients that come that will tell me, I like this grandchild, and this is my favorite. And that disturbs me, but I have to deal with that. And I have to say, why, how can you say that you like one grandchild over the other, and they're both your grandchildren? I don't know, but I just like this one better. And I mean, they really mean it. And they can't define why, but they just somehow know they have come up with something that has elevated their thoughts on one child and leaving the other child, one on the ninth floor and one on the third, for no reason that they can think of. But it's so powerful to them that they will make a difference in it. So I guess what I'm really, really going on and on and on about is that somewhere out there, God wants this message to be given. And it's been eating at me this morning, and as I wrote it down, it's like, think. Because a lot of times, it's not loving, at any time, it's not loving to put pressure on somebody. And people say, well, the economy is bad. You know, I don't buy into all of that, the economy, depression, and all that. So that's not about God. But, you know, that's the conversation that's out there in the world about the economy. And it is a reality because of choices that we made, that we are all basically somewhere in some financial position that we wish that we may not be in. Not all, but some of us. But even at that, why would you put pressure on someone to buy you something when you know actually they need to pay the light bill or feed their children and it's not that important because you really don't need it? How do you package love? How do you package forgiveness? You know, you can't have love and not forgive somebody. So let's just look at the many ways that a mother and daughter can sit down and say, you know what, with this family, let's look at what we can do. Now, with that being said, I'm going to, let me go back here. If I can get to the switchboard. Okay, here's the switchboard. Let's see. Angela, can you click on one for me, please? The reason I said that is because Angela and I, you know, this particular Christmas, she works at the soup kitchen. And being in the, and she's been doing it for a few years. She and my grandson. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing? Hold on one second.
I'm sorry, I caught you off guard. But anyway,
okay.
And so she and my grandson have been going to the soup kitchen and every one Saturday out of the month, and they've been doing this for about 3 years or so, and feeding and helping out. And I think it's a good thing because then, you know, my grandson learned the power of giving. The other one is not old enough to go. I think next year will be, you know, of age that he can go. But in the meantime, on Christmas, she says, Mama, she says, they're shorthanded. And on Christmas Day, you know, people want to go and spend time with their family. They really don't want to go and work. And she said, it's not her Saturday. She said, but they need help. Can we go? And I said, yes. Yes. What better way than to get up on Christmas morning and go help someone else? But then God placed on my heart to get some envelopes and place a gift in them and just randomly give them out, and I will tell you who to give them to. You know, and I'm not trying to act like we are perfect mothers and daughters. That's not it. All I'm saying is that we all can just think, what can we give? What can we put together? How can we package love and take out, you know, and the forgiveness? It's, you know, because if you got love, you're going to forgive all the people around you. You're going to have the emotions, and you're going to progress from within.
Right.
Good morning, Angie.
Good morning. Yeah, I just want to piggyback on that. I do want to encourage, you know, mothers and daughters that are listening to find a place, you know, if you want to figure out how to give love, how to really share what the gift that God gave the world with Jesus, then, you know, go to your local soup kitchens and ask for the volunteer coordinator, or go to your food pantries or even shelters and see opportunities for you to volunteer, because a lot of people are going to be in, like you said, in their warm, comfortable homes on Christmas morning and opening up a bunch of gifts that they really don't need, don't want, and, you know, eating tons and tons of food on top of each other. And, you know, then there's people out there who the only meal they're going to probably have that day is the meal that we're going to prepare for them on Christmas at the soup kitchen. So, you know, if you could find a way in your own community to give and not just make it something that you do on the holidays, but just do it, you know, year-round. It's giving love. It's not charity. It's not giving, feeling sorry for someone. It's really, and trying to make yourself look big. You know, make sure that's not your motive. But the motive is truly just to give love and let there that Jesus loves them. And our act, when they see the kind acts and the love that we display to them, then they do see Jesus, and it represents the love that Jesus has for all of us. So definitely want to encourage everybody listening to find some kind of way to give love, not just for you and yours, but, you know, stretch outside and see where a need is that the Lord can help you through his grace you can feel for someone else.
Thank you for that. And I want to encourage everybody that's on the line, because I know many of you out there have your charities and have your donations and things that you do. Click one. Tell us about it. So somebody's going to hear it, and you're going to motivate them with what you do. I know my sister out of Atlanta, I have two sisters in Atlanta. One of them is a part of, well, both of them really, is a part of what they call the Glory Line, and it's a group of women down there, the Circle. I think it's the Circle of Love. I just want to make sure I get that right. But that's what they do. They come together and they put their monies together, their personal monies, and they go out and they figure out how can we help someone, and they feed as many people as they possibly can. They give out blankets. They do whatever they need to do to help the people in Atlanta in their own way. And, you know, you don't have to be a millionaire to give, but just what can I give? How much love can I package and give out this season? Because people are in need, and they need to see that Jesus is out here in us and that we are willing to step forward and say, okay, we understand, and I'd rather not have a gift. I'd rather not have a gift and to have someone say to me, what is it that you want? And I would say, well, put the money in some envelopes and let me give them out at the soup kitchen. That's what I would rather have. So I don't need anything per se for me. I'm eating, I'm sleeping, I'm okay. Not that I'm rich and not that I've got anything. Lord knows I could use it. But when I look at me and I look at someone else, how can I help? How can I get outside of myself to help? So if we do that, then we are giving a gift to Christ. That's all I'm trying to get your thoughts to. What can I give to Christ? And what can I really do to get in the season, you know, of giving? So that's basically where I am. Anybody out there want to share on that? I see everybody there. They're looking. And I'm feeling like everything stopped. But I hope that didn't settle in your spirit wrongly. I'm hoping that you receive it with love, because it came from love for me, and that's just what God placed on my heart. And I know sometimes when it's Christmas time, people don't want to hear, don't tell me not to get a present, or don't tell my children not to give me a gift. You know, I don't want to hear that. But I'm hoping that's not what, the way that it's coming out. You know, that's not my reason for it. I'm hoping that you can get all the gifts you want, but still look at how can I personally wrap and give a gift of love to someone else, and what love really, really means. You have anything else you
want to
add on that, Angela?
No, I think you said it pretty well. You know, just got to get the focus off of the gifts. That's the main thing that, you know, is so important, that you're not focus on the gift, because as children of God, we have to show the world how to celebrate Christmas. And we have to show them what the gift of Christ really meant to the world. How can we do that if we're just lives or out there as, you know, with Santa Claus and all these other things as everybody else? A lot of people don't know this, but I like to share this story, you know, just as a way that I kept Christ in Christmas, is I never told the kids about Santa Claus. They, of course, they heard about Santa Claus at school, but that was not anything that I practiced in my home. In fact, I always felt I don't want to do that, because I knew that eventually the truth was going to come out, and I didn't want my children to feel like I've, you know, lied to them about Santa Claus, and then they start thinking, well, if Santa Claus is not real, then is Jesus real? How we know Jesus is real? We can't see him just like we can't see Santa Claus. You know, how do we know that this story is real? So I didn't want to confuse the stories by giving them a false hope in the Santa Claus and then have to come back and tell them, well, that's not true, but Jesus is really true. You know, it just didn't make sense to me. In fact, very early on, I knew I didn't really want to go into those type of fables with the kids. But, you know, when you're a new parent, with my first son, and when he was little, and he had lost his tooth, and then my husband and I, even though we really knew better, we tried to do Tooth Fairy. And the Tooth Fairy kept forgetting to come. You know, every night my son would wake up, the tooth was under the pillow. My husband and I go to bed and forget. And he'd wake up that next morning, and the tooth was still there. The Tooth Fairy didn't come. I mean, he did that for like 3 nights. And that's when the Lord really pressed upon me. Now, look, just give this foolishness up. You know you're lying to the child about Tooth Fairy. So don't even start this foolishness. So I learned very early on not to even play those games. So all I'm saying is we want, and my mama, I'm sure, is saying, is we just want to kind of redirect everybody's focus to what it really means. And we as the children of Christ really have to display what it really means. The love that Jesus gave, that the Lord gave to us through Jesus, we have to display that. And it's not in buying gifts. It really isn't. And I hope, I mean, if you're offended, I pray for you. But the truth is, it's not in buying gifts. It really is showing love and being a representative of Christ, because Jesus could very well, I mean, he had power. He could very well have sent the message or the word of God some other means, but he actually went out and traveled. There was other people, yes, who were his disciples that did work as well, but it was important for him to go out and show and share the love of God and spread the message of the kingdom. So that's why it's important for us to take on that role, that we go out and we are seen sharing and showing love, because that's what we're supposed to do. And not just at Christmas, it's really a year-round thing, but I'm just saying especially at Christmas. I don't think we should be caught doing anything else. So find a way that you can do that to the people who need it the most. There's people out there who are really hungry, really need the word of God. And if you can find that place and those people and really do the work, I think we'll be doing what we're supposed to be doing as children of God.
Yeah, thank you. And at least getting started in the right direction, you know. And for those of you that are doing wonderful, wonderful jobs out there and helping people all over the place, God bless you. And it's not for us to give you any credit at all. It's God see you, God know you, and he knows what you're doing. And it doesn't matter, because some things you don't need to talk about. I don't need to talk about some of the things in my life and the things that I give or the people that I try to help. If it's nothing but counseling them, you know, which is the word, which is putting empowerment into them, which is more valuable than anything.
That's true.
Let's open up the line. Hold on. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, that's very important, too, because it's not for you to go out and talk about what you've done. In fact, some of my very close friends don't even know that I volunteer at the soup kitchen. But unless they just happen to call me on that time and I tell them I can't talk right now. But a lot of people who associate with me, they don't even know that I'm involved in the soup kitchen, because it's not something that I just go out and broadcast. It's something that I know God's placed in my heart to do, so I'm just out to do it. So, yeah, it's important that, you know, we do it in the right reason. And I'm sure there's people out here listening who do lots of stuff. So don't get us wrong. We're not trying to condemn or make anybody feel guilty. There's nothing about that. We're just simply saying, you know, let's do the work of Christ.
I'm just going with what the Lord placed on my heart, and I have to do that. But, you know, that reminds me, I'm coming, callers. I see your hands up. I'm coming. I'm going to make this very short. That reminds me of a situation I know where, when we say you don't have to tell people what you do, there was a gentleman, and what he did was he drove by the shelters, and he passed out money, just passed out money as he drove by, and passed in here, call him out here, 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 and drove off into the wind, and no one knew who he was, you know, but he dropped it off. When he opened it up, there was money in there. So there's a number of things that you can do. And God said, that you do in private, you know, I reward you openly. All right. Thank you, Angela. Hold one second. Good morning, 404. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
Sorry. I'm fine. I'm sorry it took so long to get to you. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, that's fine. I'm doing wonderful. I'm enjoying the topic. I've been getting ready to leave, and I probably missed some of it, but I caught a lot. And this topic of giving is really awesome.
Thank you.
I know a lot of people, when you speak of giving, they used to think of just money. And, you know, if they didn't have the money, then they felt they didn't have anything to give. But there is so much more. And one of the things that I've never done, and I heard, I think it was Angie spoke on volunteering in shelters. That's one of the things that I want to do. And I think I'm really inspired to go do that. To see. One of the things I like to say is giving, coming from the heart, you know, is very awesome. It can bring a smile to someone's face. It can change their life forever. And that's one of the things we need to really, I mean, everyone should really try to invest in, and you'll see the benefits that comes from giving from the heart. Whether it's clothes, whether it's money, whether it's your time, and like you said, volunteering in shelters, and just whatever you can give is so rewarding. I'm sorry, I'm trying to concentrate over our conscience. But it's just one of the rewarding things that everybody should want to take a part in just to see the benefits of it. But I really love that topic this morning, and it's going to really inspire me to start giving more and start doing more and seeing the benefits that, you know, other people can get from it rather than myself. Just seeing the other benefits that other people can get will really inspire me to do more and to feel more appreciative that I can do something for someone else. And I would like to challenge everyone else to do likewise. But I'm really enjoying this topic this morning. I'm sorry, I'm concentrating on where I'm going. So I'm talking and looking too.
Well,
I'm enjoying it as always, and I just wanted to say that because it's really touching me, and it's really going to inspire me to go out there and, you know, even though I am a giver, to give more and to do more, because I can give more and I can do more, and I am going to do that this season and, you know, and continuously, you know, through my life to just be a giver.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling. You know, when you were talking, what came to my mind was, you know, I think I told the audience some weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. It's been about 4 or 5 months when the Lord spoke to me and said, clean out your closet and give those clothes to someone that can use them. I had shoes in there that I bought, and I don't know what happened. My feet was fine when I bought them, and then when I started to wear them, they were, you know, too tight. So I had shoes in there I don't know, I bought and seemed like they fit, and they were too big. And I just had boxes of shoes that I hadn't worn. I had clothes in there with tags on that I had not worn. I got it, and I didn't like it. I thought it was a sale, and I thought it was good. And I just had them hanging in there, and I had clothes that I said that I was going to get back into, and I haven't worn them. And good clothes. And that's it. Somebody could use those clothes. Why are you doing that? And then you want to buy and want to be blessed. So I got up, and I packed. And I packed my very best. I even gave some things that I went back and looked at again, and I said, well, I don't know. Maybe I want to hold on. I don't know now. Maybe do I want to give this? And the Lord said, yep. Don't give anybody anything that you don't want to wear. But when you give, right, you give something you like. You give something that you would want to keep. And so I just started packing them up. And I just packed them up. I fold them and I put them in nice bags. I dress them up in the best bags, the best gift packages I possibly could. And I held on to them because I didn't know where to take them. And then all of a sudden, as I everybody knows now that I've told on the radio that I'm going from church to church, and every Sunday morning God tells me what church to go to. And this particular church, I went back the second time because I didn't do what I was supposed to do the first time, and God laid on my heart, take the clothes with you there. And I said, well, Lord, you know, they don't know me. You want me to just take them, and, you know, these are people that don't really know me. What are they going to think? Don't worry about it. Put them in your car. I lugged all those clothes, those shoes, and put them in the car, and just as I was getting ready to leave, they spoke to me and said, you didn't give them the clothes. So I went to the minister's wife, and I said to her, I said, the Lord encouraged me to pack these clothes up and to bag them up and get them ready to give. I said, but I was instructed to bring them here. And I said, would you receive them? And she said, yes. She said, oh, my God, we have so many women come in here that need clothing, and we are out. They even had a clothes closet. And she said, we're out of clothes. And see, had I not done that, you know, and I'm looking for my return. So I'm looking for somebody to call me up and say, Dr. Fletcher, here, we got a whole bunch of clothes here that I'm cleaning my closet out. You know, and so even at that, because he said, you know, you give, it'll be given back unto you. So it's just, and I feel so good because now I know that it was given and given out of love. Thank you very much. You have a great day and concentrate on where you're going.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Good morning. 678.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you this moring?
I'm doing great. Doing great. We're talking about giving and how do we package love, and what does that wrapping look like? You know,
it's a good subject. Excuse me. I'm thoroughly enjoying the show this morning, and I think we have to look at the Lord, because God teaches us about giving. He said, give, and as we give, it will be given back to us. And he tells us it's better to give than to receive, because once we give and release it, we open the door for him to bless us. You see, we still get a double blessing, because, see, we get to see the joy of a person that we have blessed, that God has laid on our heart and told us to do by being obedient, and then we still do what God tells us to do. God blesses us openly. A lot of times we see people being blessed, and we wonder, Lord, what they're doing. Well, it's like Angie said, it's what you do in secret that he rewards you openly. We don't have to boast about what we do. We don't have to tell everyone when we give or what we're doing. But when we do it as God tells us to do it, then we open the door for us to be blessed. I always tell my children, when you've got your hand so tightly closed that you don't want to give out, well, your hand is so tight and so tight, there's nothing going to come in for you. You know, and so you close that door. When you think about you, yourself, and nobody else, and people need to realize that giving out of your heart, not giving to expect something back, you can, like Angie said, going down to the shelters and to the soup kitchen, but
I found out also you can go, sometimes you may see people laying up under the bridge, homeless people. Some of them, you know, they've got pride, and they don't want to go to the shelter, but if you can go down there, take them a blanket, take them some food, that's a way of ministering as well. A lot of times mm-hmm. we have to look for the opportunity because a lot of people, they're not where they are because they're necessarily, everybody think a lot of times people are in shelters or up under the bridge or going through a rough time because it's drugs involved or they're alcoholics. Some people I have met, they have college degrees. Some of them have just had a bad misfortune. You know, you just can't judge why they're there, but what you can do is show love and tell them about Jesus, because sometimes the only God they see is the God in people that will give them hope.
Okay, that is true. That is mm-hmm. so true. What I was thinking when you say it's college degree, yes, I know people that are PhD. It has nothing to do with education or even some people that I know that are under the bridges that are rich. They're very rich. They decide to leave their family and not succumb to their family traditions. So rather than do that, you know, and they don't want to go into the corporate world. So everybody has a different, it doesn't mean that they're poor, but that's their way of cutting off. I mean, the family may be rich, and they decide I would rather do without than to be, or to mm-hmm. be transferred into something that I don't want to. So there are many, many reasons.
That's right.
And it is whatever you decide to do. But I'm not talking about just for this season, and I hope that doesn't come across that way. I'm talking about a resolution to our life that we do this on to the end of our life until we get home. To our,
that's right.
Make, you know, just make a conscious effort. And God placed on my heart, this is the thing that I will be doing next year. God placed on my heart to focus on the children, to go into the school and to look at the children that need. And that's going to be our big focus. It just placed it on my heart. And that kind of generated out of this conversation. You know, there's so many children out there. And do you know when a child feels that they are not equal to another child, they can't study, they can't receive because their little hearts are broken. And mm-hmm. just place it on my heart. I want you to look into the children. And whatever I give you next year is to help the children, because he also placed in my heart to help raise up a whole new generation of mothers. And this is how we're going to change the world. It's changing the thoughts and the new mothers that we are bringing forth. So all of that come with, in order to change the thoughts, in order to help mothers and change into a new generation, we got to start with the children. We got to let them know the goodness of God and how, and it's not about me giving. And the one thing I want you to know, it's not about me. You should never tell a person, I'm giving you this. Because then once you've done that, you've gotten your reward. I'm doing this. You have gotten your reward. But if you go to them and say, you know, Jesus sent you this. God is giving you this through me. And God asked me to give this to you. Then God will reward you. So we need to make that very clear. You can't go with, I'm giving you. And you shouldn't give somebody something and knowing that God didn't tell you to give it to them, because you're still not going to get a reward. If God placed in your heart to do it and you don't do it, then you don't get the reward. So you know, you got to listen, and you have to ask God for wisdom and eyes to see and ears to hear so that you can get it right. Because then, and only then, will you get the reward from it. So you can give all you want to, but if you don't really have the love attached to it, meaning that it's coming from a godly love, then there's no reward for you to get, because you get the smile from the person, and that's it.
Right. And, you know, I just want to say this, add this on. If everyone would think about what Jesus said, because he said, when you did it to the least of them, and that's someone that whether it's the children or the homeless or the people under the bridge or the elderly, he said, when you did it unto the least of them, you've done it unto me. So it's all still in ministry. You know, it's still ministry when you're giving. You can't look to give and sow
and expect, you know, a full return if your heart not in it. Jesus has got to be the center of everything that we do. We've got to live in a way in our giving, in our ministry, that we're trying to please him and only him. And that's when the true reward will become, you know, will be spread over your life. You've got to have him as your focus.
Okay. Well, let me get to some of the other callers here. Thank you very much for the comments. Have a great day.
You too.
Good morning, 347.
Good morning, Dr. Bessie. This is Evangelist Davis from New York. I was listening to your show today, as always, and it is an outstanding one, and it is good for this season. I was praying on it myself, and it's really funny that you brought up this topic, because I was talking to my sisters and my friends and stuff like that, and they was like, what you want for Christmas? And God laid it on my heart to tell them that I don't want them to go out shopping to buy me anything for Christmas, and I'm not buying any of my immediate family anything for Christmas, only my granddaughter. And I'm going to teach her about God first and foremost. But what I decide to do this Christmas season for the 25 days of December is to give and do for God. If it's to bring people closer to God, if it's to show people the God in me, that's what I'm trying to do. My coworkers at work, if I give anything, it's going to be an invitation to church. It's going to be a Bible. It's going to be something about God. It's going to be something to promote God in Christmas. I also decided, as I do always, every year, to give to different people, like, you know, like really in need. So my church, they always give angel food box for people that can't afford to eat, lose their job and something like that. I decided this year to give to the Jewish elderly people that's suffering. And I also like to give to animals, the AACP, Human Society, and Feed the Children. But that's what I want to do. And God had laid it on my heart. When I'm a blessing to somebody, I am just so happy. And it was a sister that I talked to yesterday, no name or anything. She had an operation, and she wasn't able to go to the doctor. She wasn't able to get her medicine. And God gave me a blessing to be a blessing for her. And as soon as I did that, I went out on faith and told her. I even called and made arrangements so they could cut the price and stuff like that because she didn't have the money. And I talked to the social worker in another state and made arrangements. I went out on the limb. God made a financially blessing to me as soon as I did that. So that's what, like what Angie was saying, if you hold everything within, if you don't have room to receive. So this should be the season to give, not to always receive, and promote God, loving, forgiveness. And I really appreciate this message, and it's touched my heart, and I just thank you, Dr. Betsy.
Oh, wow, I thank God. You know, when you said that, it brought back a subject. It's been a week and a half. And I'm saying this to anybody out there, and if it touched you and you want to do something about it, that's fine. You know, it wasn't on this particular topic, but there's a young lady, 16-year-old, at one of the schools here that died, and her parents are struggling trying to figure out how to bury the young lady. And so we are all trying to put together funds. And if it touched your heart and you want to send something, just let me know, and I'll tell you the name of the school. I think it's Hollandale High School and Hollandale, Florida. So, you know, it's something that have money to do a lot of things, and a mother don't have money to bury their child. So think about that. And all I can say is, package whatever you do this year and from this day forward in love. Have a blessed day. God bless you. I love you. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, thank you.